the time that I've been praying and seeking the Lord, it's been impressed to share with you concerning the glory of God. The very glory of God. What does the Word say about His glory? Man, it's powerful. And how does that glory affect us? And if this is going to be a multi-lesson. I mean, there's no way I can do this in one day. I mean, there's so much to be said about it. Well, let's start with Genesis chapter 15. There are so many instances in Scripture where it actually describes His manifestation. So in Genesis chapter 15, and this is where God is making a covenant with Abraham. And God declares, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and that the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will be from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now towards the heavens and count the stars to be able to number them.' And he said, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. And he believed, then he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it.' And he said to the Lord, 'How shall I know that I will inherit it?'" What we're going to see here is God's going to show up in person to confirm the covenant that he has with Abram. So he says, "Bring me three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And Abraham didn't have to know what to do with them. He divided them. He cut them up. He spread them all out. He took the heifer and he split it down the spine, right down the spine. This is how things were done, allowing the halves to fall apart and have blood run down the middle, in between the two pieces. And what they would do was that a person then, when they were cutting covenant with one another, they would literally, as they're stepping through the blood, they would declare their covenant to one another. God says, "I'm going to declare my covenant with you." But note how he shows up. Let's look at verse 17. "And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces." So what we're seeing here is a manifestation of God's glory is that he's a smoking oven, like a cloud, a smoke. And he's a burning torch. He's a fire. And that's a manifestation of God's glory and his power. It's what God looked like. But can we confirm that? I mean, is this just a one-time incident? Let's look at Exodus chapter 2. Now keep in mind that he's a smoking oven and he's a burning torch. Exodus chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. "And the man in the house," let's see, do I have the right thing here? Oops, I wrote down the wrong scripture here. I don't know how I did that. Yep. It's chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro in his father-in-law and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And it came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, he called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he says, do not draw near to this place. Stay back. Stay back. And what we're seeing as a manifestation here now is God as a fire. His glory is being manifested as a flame, as a fire. Now, this is important. I don't know if we need to adjust the antenna on that. I don't know. Is it? Do we need to change the battery? Okay, well. Oh, yeah, I bought two new batteries. They're sitting over there. That's good. May have extended this. Okay. So here we're finding that God's manifesting himself again in his glory as a flame, a fire. But it's not consuming the bush. So we know it's not a fire. It is a glory of God fire that's being manifested here. Let's go to Exodus 13 now. Exodus 13. Let's look at verse 20. Now here God is now leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And let's see how he manifests himself. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Ethrim at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So let's get a picture of this. During the day, it's a cloud. Now imagine this. If you have a cloud and there's a flame inside, during the day when the sun is shining, when it shines on the cloud, you really can't see what's on the other side of the cloud. You can't see what's inside the cloud because the sun is illuminating the cloud. But as the sun goes down and it gets darker, now you can begin to see the light in the cloud. He is always a fire inside that cloud. He just appears to be just a cloud. And we're going to find out here the purpose for the cloud is that it's a shield to protect mankind from being consumed and being literally, and we're going to find this out, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, from being consumed by the glory of God. And we're going to see this as we're coming up. But get a picture now. They're walking through the wilderness. And there God is in all his glory. The glory cloud, the fire is in that glory cloud. He's personally escorting the children of Israel through the wilderness. And we keep saying through Scripture that God's a fire, that he's a cloud, he's a smoke, smoking oven, a burning torch. Man, is that awesome or what? This is the God that we serve. This is our Father. This is our Father God. He's an awesome, awesome being, spiritual being. This is the God we put our trust in. Let's look at Exodus 14. Let's go a little further with this manifestation of God. And it says in let's see. Okay, let's go down to 19. an angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. What happened is a Pharaoh decided they had come up to the Red Sea. They were trapped. Pharaoh's armies come, and they trap them against the Red Sea, and it's in their heart to slaughter the children of Israel. And God led them to that spot. Now, I tell you, there's a lot of us that go, God, what are you doing? You sent us here to destroy us? That's what the children of Israel were saying. But watch what God does here. An angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them to separate them between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near to the other at night. I want you to see what the glory of God did here. The glory of God, literally, God's glory was actually directional. And it's going to be some significant as we move through this. It said that God faced the children of Israel, and they had light. His glory shined on them. But behind him, the Egyptians had total darkness. He completely rejected them and his glory. He's totally giving all his glory and his attention to the children of Israel. His glory is focused on them. Now, this is significant. We're going to understand why this is true as we move through and get more detail about what God's like in his glory. And let's go now to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33:7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which is outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people arose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people arose and worshipped, each man in his own tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Now, how is that possible? As a man speaks to his own friend. How personable is God? In his glory, he's standing there talking to Moses face to face, having a face to face relationship with him. Man. But how is it he's not being consumed? Why isn't he being by his glory? Because we're about to find out that no man can look at God and live. Yet he's talking to him face to face. How is that possible? Well, he's not literally seeing his face. This is the point that I'm making. That cloud is a shield to preserve those that he's talking face to face with. He's got that protective cloud. But the glory, God's very presence is inside of that shield and inside of that housing. And he's talking to his friend Moses. All of this is going to mean something later. Unfortunately, it may be next week. I know. Maybe I'll give you a sample. I'll give you a test. We put this on the website, the sound, the audio. You'll have to send her a CD then. So here he's talking to him face to face. And he says, and he will return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to God, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you have sent with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And God said to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up out of here. He says, that's a given as far as I'm concerned. If you don't go with us, we ain't going nowhere. God, you're going to have to lead us, or we're dead in the water right here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate. We shall be separated, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in the sight, in my sight, and I know you by name. Listen to what Moses says next. Out of the blue, Moses says this, please show me your glory. What did Moses literally say there? All of a sudden, while he's talking to God and they're settling some agreements here, all of a sudden he says, I can't stand it anymore. Show me your glory. I got to see your glory. I got to see you through that cloud. I got to have a bigger peek at you than what I've been experiencing. I know we're talking face to face at the tabernacle door. It ain't enough. I got to see your glory. I got to see through that cloud. And listen to what God says. Then God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He asked to see his glory. And what did God call his glory? His goodness. His goodness. That's the very essence of God. He's a good God. And he loves us intensely. He's just good. And you know, when good gets up in front of wickedness and gets up next to evil, it just obliterates it. And man just ain't up to being that close to God at this point. That's why he's got the shield. That's why he's got the buffer up. Because if man was to really see his glory, he'd just be obliterated. Because that's what goodness is. It just... But when that goodness is focused on you, think how good that is. All of the glory and all the power of God is upon you and in your favor. Man, this is good. Listen to what he says here. This is how he's going to show Moses his glory. I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim my name. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's what his glory demands. This is all. His compassion for us just oozes out of him as the glory of God. It's who he is. It's his very being. And the devil has tricked the church into making us believe that God's an angry, mean God who's out to get us. And that's not his nature at all. His nature is goodness, mercy, compassion. That's what oozes from him. He's such a good God. He's an awesome God.
He can't help it but just ooze out of him.
So God says to him in verse 20, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." You cannot see my face and live. There's a significance to that. There's a significance to that. Hold on to that. You cannot see my face. And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on a rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see." From his face is where the glory is flooding out of. Oh. Now hold on to that. That has some significance. This isn't the first time that we've encountered this. So he presents himself to Moses. He takes Moses. He puts him in the cleft of a rock. He puts his hand over Moses. He takes some of that shroud away so that he's just kind of got his back to him like this. And he takes his hand away and he moves like this. And Moses is observing his backside as he's moving away. And he gets a glimpse of the glory of God from the backside. Go to Exodus 34. How does this impact Moses? "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain." Now this is right after he's done getting to see the glory. He got some raw footage. It might have been just the tail end, just the back, just a whoop, just a glimpse. But it says here that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, glowed, manifested while he talked with him. That glory got on him. It was on his face. In fact, it says, "So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation and returned to him, and Moses talked with them." It says the congregation returned to him. They must have ran. I mean, it was so prevalent on his face, they went, boom, and they ducked and ran. What's going on with this guy? He comes down off the mountain and his face is radiating the glory of God. Just a sample of it. "Afterwards, all the children of Israel came near and he gave his commandments of the Lord and he spoke with them on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take away the veil from off his face until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel and give them the commandments. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God again." Whew. Just a small glimpse of the glory of God affected Moses. There was a glory residue left over. That's powerful. But hang on to that. Because that's good. We're going to see some. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. We're just all over the Word today, aren't we? Second Chronicles 5:13. Now the temple is built. Solomon is consummating the temple now. They bring the Ark of the Covenant in. And so here they have the trumpeters and they have the musicians coming in and they're getting ready to worship God and declare the great mighty God that is going to occupy this temple. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 5, "Indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Here, everybody's playing their instruments and they're all in sync. They're all worshiping God perfectly. The voices are all in harmony together. Everybody's worshiping God and they're declaring his goodness and his mercy. And God shows up. He can't help but do it. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. As a side note, I believe I have it in here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is just interesting because this is something that we have covered in the past. 1 Corinthians 14. Something we kind of brushed over, but this gives a whole other meaning to what we were talking about. Now remember, we were talking about in chapter 14, Paul was putting in order the church doing things in order, operating in spiritual gifts in order in the congregation, operating properly in the things of God, so that God's able to manifest himself in meetings, in the church service, in a way of gifts, so that he could participate in the meeting. And look what he says here. I believe this is verse... Let's go to verse 6. 13:6, 1 Corinthians 13:6. "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or knowledge, by prophesying or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played?" In other words, if they're not in harmony, if they're not working together, if they're not flowing together, and this is the illustration that Paul used in how the church needs to operate in church services. And it's interesting that he's using that as an analogy when right here, when they were doing it in the temple, when they were consummating the temple and they were flowing with the instruments and the harps and the voices and everybody was in harmony, they were in one accord. Where was it? Where was another place where they were in one accord? And God showed up. In the upper room, huh? Now I'm getting ahead of myself. There's some harmony here, isn't there? Verse 8, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" Man, I just, you know, when I read that, I just thought of that verse right there. When we're in harmony, when we're at peace, when we're flowing together as a body, God is manifested. God shows up. And that's what Paul was trying to instill in the body of Christ here Well, actually, all of what we learned, really all of the book of 1 Corinthians was, is that Paul was getting things put in order. There was just too much things going wrong. So we must be in harmony. We're going to cover more of that next week. Let's go to Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk. There's all kinds of different... Nahum and Zephaniah is on either side, if that helps you. Okay. Habakkuk. Chapter 3. And we'll go with verse 3. God came. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hands. Therein his power was hidden. Again, he's describing how the earth was full of his praise, and he showed up on the scene. And he had lightning. One of the translations, he had lightning-like splendor coming out of his hands. Let me read it from the Amplified. Let's see here. And his brightness was like the sunlight. Rays streamed from his hands. And there, in the sunlight splendor, was the hiding place of his power. It's no wonder he needed to shroud himself when he came up against sinful man. As much as he wanted to have a relationship with Moses, he had to have that shroud. He had to have that separating him. Because in that is where his power is, his goodness is, his compassion is. This is the God that we serve. This is our beloved Father. That in our hour of need, that's who we're calling upon. And he's good for it. To help you out. To be with you. You think he's capable? He's more than capable. That's what we're seeing here. He's powerful. He's awesome. He's a beautiful being. Anybody who's ever seen him just says he's so overwhelmingly beautiful. They fall on the ground. Gotta keep pointing. I find it interesting too. I just want to make. I put a little note here, and I'm glad I did. It says that in his hands were the hiding place of his power. Is it any wonder that Jesus, during his ministry here on this earth, that he laid hands on the sick, that he cast out demons, that in Mark chapter 16, he told his disciples, he goes, those that believe will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hands. The hiding place of God's power. That's going to hold some significance here down the road too. Keep that in mind, because we'll go back and refer to that. But that's just a little tidbit there to wet your whistle. Let's look at Ezekiel 8. A couple of books to the left. Ezekiel 8. You know me, all of this is to set you up. I'm laying a foundation here. Ezekiel 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me right there on the spot. I mean, he's addressing the elders of Judah, and God shows up on the scene. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist downward, fire, from his waist upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. Now get a picture of that. He's saying that here's God, from his waist down, he's a fire. From his waist up, he gets gradually brighter and brighter until he comes to the color of amber. He gets to his face, and he's just intense right there. Remember the children of Israel? He was light to them, but darkness to the wicked, darkness to the enemies of the people. But his glory shone. He had his back to the Egyptians. They didn't get an ounce of his glory. It's coming from his face. Ooh, that's amazing. And we're going to see more of the glory coming from the face too, on down the line here. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven. Woo! Grabbed him by the hair and just snatched him out of there. Wow. And I began to minister to him and prophesy to him. So we're seeing the manifestation of God. What we're seeing is that he's a smoking oven. He's a burning torch. He's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. He's a fire in the bush. I mean, he's a fire from the loins down and from the loins up. His glory so prevails. Man, this is God. We're getting a visual on what God looks like here. This is him in his glory. This is the God who's our Father, that we can depend on. Let's look at Malachi 4. And we're going to be coming down to the end of this. Malachi 4. And like I said, what I'm doing is I'm setting down the groundwork. Because when I connect the dots on this, it's going to be good. But I don't have time today to connect all the dots. Sorry. Malachi 4, verse 1. This will give you a little glimpse. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wicked, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, but to you, my people, but to you, my righteousness in God. That's who he's talking about here. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. Now, put your finger in your Bible and close it. How do you spell son, as in daughter and son? S-O-N. How did they spell son here? S-U-N. There's significance to that, isn't it? For the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Now, we know from the sun, you know, you got solar flares that come out. They're like wings that come out of the sun. He's using an analogy here. And he says, there's healing in his glorious wings, in his glorious hands, did we not discover? And again, we go back to Jesus laid his hands on people, and they demons were cast out, people were healed. But watch this. And you, who's he talking about? Who's you? That's right. He's talking about you. See, he's prophesying here. He's talking about every one of us that's born again and knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the very righteousness of God. That's who he's talking about. And he says, and you shall go out and grow fat like the stall-fed calves. In other words, you're going to benefit from my glory. You're going to be healed by my glory. You're going to prosper to the point to where you're so full, you're fat. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to what he says here. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day of that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, there's going to come a day, and this is what we're leading into next week, when you're going to house that glory, and your feet are going to cause all the things that my glory does, because my glory is in you. And your enemies will be ashes under your feet. You'll be healed. You'll be blessed. Because you'll have the very glory of God in you. And how is that possible? I mean, I thought you couldn't see God and live. We're going to find that out. Because you're no longer... Just for you guys. Because you're no longer a wicked, evil person that doesn't know Christ. You're a reborn, recreated spirit. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if you be in Christ, you're a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so there comes a day when God says, I'm going to fill you with my very glory, my spirit. And you will manifest my glory through you to this world. And you'll have the capacity because I reborn you, I remade you, I recreated your spirit so that you have the capacity to house that glory. That's what we're going to be getting into next week. More detail of that. I just want you to be meditating on that over this week and be prepared to just shout. Because this is awesome. Man, I'll tell you, you'll come out of here just fired up. You'll be ready to get her done. Whew. God is good. He rigged things for us. He rigged it for us against the devil so that we're able to go boldly before the throne of grace. So we're able to stand in his holy presence and not have to worry about a shield be up and go, We can look at him face to face. And we're going to find out why. I'm already excited and I want to preach it, but I can't. Oh, I tell you what, I was hopping around in my study. I'm like going, oh, this is good. Woo! I'm excited. And I'm excited for you guys because if you can get a hold of this, you'll walk in boldness. You won't put up with sickness and disease in your life anymore. It's done. You won't put up with poverty. You won't put up with lack because his glory provides so much to you that you're fat. You've got so much abundance. And nobody, not the devil, not anybody influenced by the devil, can affect you in your life when you walk in the glory. There'll be ashes under your feet. You'll have victory. The devil tries to destroy what you're trying to do here, and you just say, oh, no, you don't, devil. I have the glory of God on the inside of me. I'm a child of the living God, and you don't have any right to me. I'm not your child. I'm God's child. So be meditating on that. Prepare yourself. Bring your seatbelt. We're going to go for it. All right. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this word. Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you did not leave us here abandoned. That, Lord, you had this plan before the foundations of the world, that you would implant in us one day as you recreate our spirits, as you make us born again, that we would have the capacity to actually have you live on the inside of our spirits, have the capacity to receive your very glory so that we can walk victorious in this life, that we don't have to be defeated, that our enemies are ashes under our feet. Sickness and disease has no right to us. Poverty and lack has no right to us because we have your glory and we're born again and we're your child. And we just receive that, and we meditate on that until our soulish man believes it, and we begin to walk in it in a supernatural manifestation of your power, that we're laying hands on the sick and people are recovering, that we're moving in supernatural abundance so that we can get your work done in this earth and then go home to glory and sit at your right hand, Ephesians 2, 6, 7, and 8. And we can sit with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we have a mission to accomplish here, Lord. And we thank you for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for every tool that we have. And we will endeavor to walk in it. We will renew our mind to it. And we will be successful in the name of Jesus. Amen.